What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this chilly Friday morning throughout the Delaware Valley. And we got a lot to discuss, including a Flyers team that has now lost. I mean, this is a disgrace. 10 in a row for the second time this season? I mean, it's not even February. What in the world? Sixers back at it tonight versus the Clippers. Of course, the Ben Simmons saga continues. Eagles offseason, some look ahead, certainly some look back as well to the season that was. We got the NFL playoffs up ahead this weekend. A lot to do with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Joe.
John, I see you're in your winter coat. Good decision, by the way, man.
You know.
Might want to invest in one,
you
Joe.
You should be humiliated by your own dress attire. Your choice of winter gear for this day was so inadequate.
I
watched you walk away from the parking lot this morning with your dumb double hat thing, double skull cap. Like, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for
you. It's like a pea coat you're wearing.
And a tiny little yeah. It's like a fall dress jacket.
It's exactly what it is. Yes.
I'm going out to dinner on a
September evening. I'll wear that jacket.
Oh my gosh. It is freezing cold.
I'm going to HR. This has to be some kind of human resources violation. This is not how you're supposed to treat coworkers.
This is the opposite, Joe. We're concerned for you.
We're going
to freeze to death.
That's where it all stems from. Like, we don't want you hypothermia, like catching hypothermia and slowly like dwindling away out there. It is so freezing cold.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
But anyway, hey, Joe.
Yes. Hey, John.
You know, the British Empire was the largest empire in the history of the world.
Yeah, well, they had a lot.
In 1920.
Sure.
1920, they basically owned a quarter of the world.
Yeah, I think it was like 20, a little over a quarter, right? I actually just looked this up with my wife recently. We had a conversation about the largest empires in the world, and we looked up the whole list. Roman Empire is way lower than you would have thought,
yeah.
Which makes sense because a lot of the world wasn't founded by the Romans at that time, but it's
1920,
fascinating.
13 million square miles of land.
Wow.
More than 22% of the Earth's land mass was owned by the British.
That's an amazing fact.
More than 20% of the world's population owned by the British.
Good fact, John. Very good fact. Look, 215-592-9494 for everyone to get in. We're going to get into the Ben Simmons thing. We'll get into the Flyers thing, the whole deal. Let's start with sort of what I kind of view as one final Eagles season wrap-up show. We're going to have a lot of shows in future weeks looking ahead to the next season. But let's kind of try to put a bow one final time on the 2021 Eagles season, this the final Friday or the Friday of the week after they just lost their playoff game. And I'm going to ask a super, super, super simple question to everybody. And I want you to come to the table and answer this question. Was this a successful season for the Philadelphia Eagles? You guys know the deal. They went 9-8. They made the playoffs as the 7th seed. They got smoked in the first round. Those are the big headlines. And there's a lot of other stuff in there. There's Sirianni. There's Hurts. They made some trades that affected the team. They made some draft picks. They had some low-level free agent signings. They had some restructured contracts of guys on their own team. I'm asking the simple question, and John, you get first crack at it. Was this a successful season for the Philadelphia Eagles?
No. I'm not one to toot my horn for moral victories. Hey, they were supposed to be worse than they were. Yeah, that is true. I feel like this team overachieved with the personnel that they were putting out there. But again, no moral victories. I want winning. And when I say winning, I mean real winning, where we can be what we were just recently. I mean, 5 years ago now, we were the best team in all the land. And it was a far cry from that this season.
Yes, it was.
I want winning. I want real winning. But, you know, I do want to preface that statement with I never believed this team could win 9 games, and they did. So I guess that you can say that they overachieved. I will not say it was a successful season because I don't think they deserve to win 9 games. I think they can get better. than the better that they showed this season. Yes, they were better. That doesn't mean the season was a success, because we are still far from good, and let's be honest about our standards. I don't want a team who can't beat a good team. I don't want a team who never beats a good team the entire season.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's not good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, this season was not a success when we are middling. We are average, but we eke in with new rules to a playoff scenario, and then we get, you know, our butts handed to us.
Worst playoff loss they've ever had.
We said,
ever. And I don't mean final score might not have been, but listen,
that doesn't feel good.
Look at NFL Eagles history in the playoffs. That was the most non-competitive game in the postseason the Philadelphia Eagles had ever played.
And that is that whatever realm of things, that yep. playoff football, just recently, it felt recently, we excelled. We were the aggressor. We were taking it to people. Man, we could get back to that if we don't allow ourselves to say, hey, this is close. This is close to good enough. Let's pat ourselves on the back. Like, I refuse to do that. And maybe I'm just trying to, look at this from a, over-aggressive perspective. I don't want things. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want this organization to be complacent. That's my greatest fear.
And I think you want the fan base to hold the feet to the fire of the team to say,
yes,
be better and get better.
Absolutely. Yeah. We should expect so much more, because remember, what did we say the main goal was this year? Because we were not setting high goals for this season coming off a 4-win year. We were saying, hey, you know what? Let's just find out what we've got in Jalen Hurts. Did you find that out? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
think he could improve to become the guy. I was hoping that at the beginning of this season,
right.
too. I don't know the answer.
Right.
Like, did we really achieve that main goal this
year? Well, and
year?
I think the same.
No,
John,
we didn't.
I think the same can be said on Sirianni.
Absolutely.
I think that was the other.
That was 1B.
Yeah.
Let's find out what we've got from Jalen Hurts. Let's find out what we've got from Nick Sirianni. And if we do, then we'll feel pretty good about where things headed. We didn't have high expectations. But then all of a sudden, things started getting crazy down the stretch. Those expectations became, we can beat the world champs. You know, like, the expectations went through the roof once it seemed apparent that, well, geez, I mean, once it was obvious when we had essentially a bye in week 18,
right.
We sat all our guys because circumstance favored us so greatly this season with that schedule. Some people started to believe that this team was better than it was. I want to caution you. I hope that the front office doesn't share that sentiment that this team is better than it truly
is. After what happened last Sunday, I can't imagine they do.
Based on their demeanor in the press conference, yeah. like they seemed
they got
pretty
their,
grounded.
You know what
with
really?
That.
You know what hurt, John? They and we, all of us, had to basically endure the second half. And I mean, I'm talking about an hour and a half of life. Maybe you can call it an hour and 45 minutes, count halftime, even count the end of the second quarter, where we knew it was a death march to a butt-whooping. I mean, the game was over.
Yeah.
The game was over halfway through the game. So you had to sit there and endure it.
And it's not just that game. It was the games that we played against good teams. It was every game.
All right, so let me jump in here. And, again, everyone can respond and get in on this at 215-592-9494. It's a really simple question. I don't know that it's such a simple answer, though. Was this a successful season for the Eagles? John, here's my answer. Reluctantly, and I very much put the word reluctantly, reluctantly goes into the sentence. Reluctantly, I say, yes, this was a successful season.
Come on.
And, John, no, let me tell you why. I say reluctantly for the obvious reason, because of how the season ended. Not just that they lost. It was the most non-competitive Eagles playoff game we've ever seen. I take great inventory from that game. So I don't want you to think I'm pushing that aside. I swear to God I'm not. Here's why I lean toward successful instead of not. I think when you – listen, anytime a team goes from 4-11-1 to 9-8, that is real growth. It is. It's real growth. Now, yes, they beat a bunch of scrub teams with a lot of scrub players, so I get it. But 9-8 from 4-11-1 is clear progress. I also think it did become fun again. I mean, listen, we can make the case that the pride we felt in December, a little misguided, because they still hadn't beaten anybody. And when they played in the playoffs, they got smoked by a real team. But I, as a fan, appreciate it November and December. I think a lot of fans appreciate it November and December, and that matters. I think reestablishing having a great offensive line, most of whom are young, because you got Kelce and you got Lane. Lane could be in the middle of his career.
I would say that was a success.
That part was huge.
The offensive line reemergence into the elite realm of NFL offensive line. That is a big deal.
And I also think they proved they don't just have five offensive linemen. I think they got like seven or eight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy like Driscoll. He got hurt, I don't know, midway through the year.
He
did a damn good job.
He didn't miss a beat. No matter who they put in there, it didn't seem like there was a drop-off. That is a big deal.
So, you know, you had
– So that's a success. I will say our O-line performance this season was a success.
Oh, for sure. I think that taking the $34 million cap hit on Carson and just – I mean, for lack of a better way to put it, just sucking it up, getting it over with, it was a bold strategy. It was a risky strategy. But I think it was an essential strategy. And we know it hurt.
But you can't say that's a successful move. You were in a $34 million hole because of what you did. Like, you created the hole.
I understand that.
Had to sit there in your corner with your nose against the wall
for
the entire season, not fielding the proper team
because
of that $34
million. But understand the distinction I'm making. Giving Carson that contract all those years ago clearly was a mistake, and it dramatically negatively impacted the 2021 Eagles because they had $34 million less to spend on any number of players. But given that they had given it to him to say, listen, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off, and this Band-Aid is going to hurt us $34 million, but we're willing to do it to get it out of the way. Listen, John. There were a lot of local and national football commentators, experts, that were telling you and me and everybody 12 months ago, the Eagles will not do this. They will not suck it up and take a $34 million cap hit. As a fan,
say that's a success.
No, but I appreciate
that you had to do that.
No, I'm not saying it's a success that they had to do it. I'm saying it's a success that they chose to do it because they had no other choice.
You know the worst part of this, Joe?
What?
We have a mini Carson Wentz scenario brewing
now.
Fletcher Cox.
Well,
So as if you didn't learn from that experience.
I know.
Now, you know, right after ripping said Band-Aid off, we're talking about September of this year or whatever it was, late August, they decided to re-up Fletcher.
Disaster contract.
And pay him through, you know, many years from now.
Horrible.
Lots of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And so now, like, you didn't learn from that.
All right. I hear you, John. I agree with you. Let's go to the phones and find out what everyone thinks. Successful season for the Eagles or not? Sort of one final season wrap-up show. Look, there's a lot of other parts to this. Right? All the players, Miles Sanders and Boston Scott and Reagor and Devontae and Goddard and all that. The defense. I mean, we know the deal. The offense was okay. The defense was not particularly good, certainly when they would face a real team. Do you view this season as a success or not? Let's go to Hassan in Strawberry Mansion and kicks us off this morning. What's up, Hassan?
Not much. Good morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing well, Hassan.
I believe you cannot view this season as anything but a success. They moved. They had four wins last year. The whole Wentz thing that was going on, Hurts has proved nothing but that he would get better. From college to now, from when I've been seeing him. I don't know about his high school career, but from college to now, he's shown nothing but growth every year.
So, Hassan, I agree with you. I do think Jalen Hurts will continue to work and fight and improve, and I love that about him. But that doesn't mean that a season where – you know, you were very average. You were a very average team can be constituted as a success simply because the season before was a total failure. Like, four wins, that is a failure of a season. This was not a failure of a season, but I can't say we were, like, they succeeded at achieving.
Going into the season, sorry to cut you off.
No,
going into the season, you expected nothing, 6-7 wins maybe. The fact that they were able to pull out these games and actually compete for an extra week is success to me. Nobody talks about the season when we won a Super Bowl when they beat nobody, nobody, and nobody else all year. Nobody discusses that.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Beat the Rams, that was a big deal.
That was unbelievable.
When they beat the Panthers, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
They had not the Panthers, not that season. The Panthers were horrible that season. That was the beginning of Cam Newton's decline.
Well, but for what it's worth, the Panthers were 4-1 entering that game in Week 6. I mean, that was a big time.
Where did they end up at?
Well, I don't even.
But at that point in time, we thought they were a good team, and they were still like formidable. Like Cam, we didn't know Cam was going to become what he became.
I mean, Hassan,
and their defense was
solid. Put it this way: all that regular season stuff aside, they beat Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl. They cemented themselves as not a fluke. I mean, my God. I mean, they beat the Vikings, who were the 2 seed, by 7,000 points. I mean, you know.
And who was at the helm there?
Well, I mean, I get it. It was that Kasem. What's that guy's name?
Case Keenum.
I mean, he's obviously, and Hassan, appreciate the call. Look, Case Keenum obviously is one of the weaker quarterbacks in modern history to play in an NFC Championship game. Credit to him that he got his squad there. It was unusual. And
also had a good year.
He did have a good year.
Like, he was good that year.
Yeah.
And he had great receivers to throw to. It was a good offense.
I mean, having Diggs and Thielen on the same team, who was their running back? It wasn't Dalvin Cook yet. Can't remember.
I think it was Dalvin Cook.
No, because he was...
I think he was hurt.
He was hurt. He was definitely on the team because he's the same draft as Derek Barnett.
Oh, well,
so I think he was hurt, but he was definitely on the team.
Gotcha. Okay. And they did have a good defense. I mean, that they had. They had a really good
defense.
They
had the number one defense in football that year, at least statistically.
All right. Successful season for the Birds or not, let's go to Tom and Glenn Olden. Tom, what's going on, man?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, Tom.
So I think the season was a success. But I want to kind of touch on Jalen Hurts, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
John, I've heard you over the past couple of weeks talk about Jalen Hurts and compare him to Josh Allen in terms of quarterback development. But I think you're missing a huge point in that Josh Allen started only 25 games in college and was not a finished product when he came out in the draft.
I don't think any young quarterback is a finished product.
I agree with that, too. But do you know how many games Jalen Hurts started in college?
I don't think it matters, but go ahead. How many?
He played in 56 games.
Okay.
So I think we need to look at it as a situation where I don't know how much more development Jalen Hurts has in him.
Tom, I like your point. Because, you know, one of the points, Tom,
I don't understand.
Well, let me add to this.
You're
so,
playing
Tom,
in a different offense.
Hold on, Tom. One of the points I've made, and I feel really strongly about this, is to a certain extent, Hurts the pro has to be downgraded on the basis of what I believe was exceptional coaching he got in college football. I mean, if you get coached by Nick Saban, you get coached by Lincoln Riley, two of the great programs, two of the great coaches in America.
He said the only time he was coached was by Lincoln Riley.
But,
remember that?
But I don't believe that. I don't believe Alabama had bad quarterback coaching. I just don't know.
I mean, I choose to believe the guy who got the coaching.
I don't believe it. I don't.
It's possible that
It's possible. But you get my point. I mean, if a guy goes to a bumpkin school and you can say, okay, this is something I can work with, you know, that's, you know, and he's got more growth in him because he hasn't been taught right. I think it's a little bit of a mark against
you. Can say, Tom, that the fact when if you take him at his word that he wasn't coached the way he'd hoped to be coached until he was coached by Lincoln Riley, then you can say he was coached for one season, just like Josh Allen.
I just find it hard to believe. Tom, go ahead, man.
I think the ceiling of Hurts is just so much lower than other starters in the league that the Eagles need to plan to have someone else take over eventually, whether that's through a trade or a draft in 2023.
Well, Tom, I feel really confident that they will be looking this offseason. Appreciate the call. I know a lot of people think
they have to protect themselves against the possibility that Jalen Hurts will fail at developing.
Yeah.
But I want to give him next year.
I know you do.
To determine that. And so I think it's really smart to push this thing. Like, however you want to arrange these draft picks this year, don't give them away for a big-time guy. Keep one of those, push it forward to next year so you could try to draft one of these.
Some of these available quarterbacks, though, might not be next year.
I understand.
I mean, that's, you know, it's very unique to have potentially three star quarterbacks.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Preserve something. Like, leave something for 2023.
I know.
To where you can maneuver to find that guy.
Yeah, instead of having one draft first round pick in 2023, have two if you trade one of your three this year for a future one.
Yeah.
I get your point. Let's talk to Colin in Washington Township. Yo, Colin.
Yo, what up?
Hi, Colin.
No, I think Jerick McKinnon was the Vikings running back you were thinking of.
Yeah, and, good call.
Yeah, and speaking of that game, 4 years ago today, which also means it's my dad's birthday. So happy birthday, Dad, if you're listening.
There you go.
That's my son's birthday today.
Wow, pretty good birthday presents a few years ago.
Wow.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, that certainly was. You know, Joe, I actually look at it as a bad thing that Hurts went to Alabama, because what Alabama quarterback do you want? Like, they don't really put anybody out.
Well, that's another
thing. And even Oklahoma, maybe Kyler Murray will be something, and maybe Tua will be something, maybe Jalen will be something, but they don't have a track record. As far as this season goes overall, I think you can get on board with this, Joe. The old college strategy, C's gets degrees, and that's kind of what this season was.
I agree.
Fine for a building block, but it's at the bottom of the pyramid. Like, we need to go up from here. It wasn't a disaster. I think we stabilized ourselves a little bit. That's good.
Yep.
But, I agree.
You know, we need to get much, much better. Howie needs to draft better. He needs to figure out what he's doing with Fletcher Cox. I don't really see us trying to move on from him with that big of a cap hit. But you never know. I mean, they did it with Wentz. Are they going to do it 2 years in a row, though? That's a lot to try to do.
You know what could determine, Colin? You know what could determine it is in the private meetings the Eagles have. Do they view this upcoming season as one more rebuilding year, or we're ready to sort of start going for it? Because if they think it's a rebuilding year, maybe they will just take it on the chin with Fletcher and take that salary cap hit again.
It sounded in that press conference like they view this as a building.
Howie said it.
They talked about building.
Howie literally said that. Exactly. But he said it's a building year. So it's exactly what he said.
All right. I'll tell you what. Coming up.
Hey, I like what he said there.
Go ahead.
He's talking about grades. C's get degrees and all that. Like, I would give this season a C. Like, we were average. And to me, that is not a success. I'm not going to say a C. An average season is a successful year.
Yeah, but the flip is you expect it. A D or a D minus.
Okay.
So when a team does more than expect, you know, a lot of it is based on expectations, and they did exceed expectations in the eyes of
they
most.
Absolutely exceeded expectations. It does not make it a success.
215-592-9494. Coming up, that piece of audio of Howie the other day talking about the idea of continuing to rebuild or go for it. What Howie said in his press conference this week, we'll play that audio for you. We'll rock all your calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
This is making me sad.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact.
So I'm sure most know, but if you missed the news, Meat Loaf passed away yesterday. The age is 74. He was really good. He was really good. Was he just a couple of big songs, or did he have a more extensive?
Well, that album, like the Bad Outta Hell album or whatever, was like a massive album.
Yeah.
He did some acting, too. He was in some movies here and there and stuff.
I do remember that. Seemed like a good dude. I mean, you see him. I mean, who the heck knows? But seemed like a good guy when you see him interviewed.
Yeah, he did. I have no idea. I don't know. John, I know his music, and that's it.
John, what was up with the name Meatloaf? I mean, where did that come from?
His real name is Robert Paulson.
Yeah, well, that's not what we know him as.
Meatloaf.
Bob
Paulson. Was a, like a, you know, husky, meaty guy. You know, it's sort of appropriate.
Who doesn't like meatloaf, too?
Yeah.
I mean, right? Meatloaf's great.
Yeah. Well,
I love meatloaf.
Oh, love meatloaf.
Wait, I bet Joe.
No, of course.
Yeah, that's right up Joe's alley.
That's
it's as comfort as it gets, yeah.
Well, I wondered maybe.
No, I felt pretty confident.
Dude, meatloaf.
Well, we learned yesterday that you haven't eaten a banana for 10 years.
Yeah, but that ain't meatloaf and mashed potatoes, man. I mean, meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, this is wheelhouse.
Meatloaf and mashed potatoes is the brother of shepherd's pie.
That was literally what I thought of when I was like, he likes shepherd's pie. I'm sure he likes meatloaf.
Now, what about the ketchup coating that some put on meatloaf?
Listen, meatloaf can be done wrong. Just make sure you do it right.
I find it hard to mess up meatloaf.
Well, it's you know what, and it's
I love the ketchup coating.
Meatloaf also
I think
can
that
be
improves the meatloaf.
Can be okay in a diner too. That's the other thing. I mean, you got to be careful sometimes in diners.
Like, it's a good point, Jeff.
How far are you going down that menu in a diner? Meatloaf is kind of like the end of the line.
Oh, see, I always go down the menu. I'll get like fish.
Oh no, you should.
Oh
no,
man,
no, you don't get
in
fish.
A diner.
No, you don't.
That's you. You're
yeah,
the guy.
No, you don't
I
get
am.
Fish or a steak in a diner.
I'll
you get a burger.
Richie's the buddy who orders fish, and you're like, bro, what
yeah.
are you doing?
No, John, that's insane.
Yeah, I love fish.
No,
diners they have it on the menu.
Diners
gotta be kind of good.
Burgers. They are
breakfast. Get breakfast.
Breakfast food.
I agree with that to some degree.
You know. All right. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to the audio of Howie the other day. On mindset moving forward, sort of still in the rebuild, building mode, or go for it mode. Also, this Eagles season, successful or not, in your opinion, Marvin in West Philly's with us. Hey, Marvin.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Marvin.
All right. I do think this is a successful season. I know hindsight is 2020. We got to take a breath here. Now, I know Jalen Hurts is not Tom Brady. Nobody was expecting that. Well, year one of his starting career. People were saying they needed to see more from Jalen Hurts all the way up pretty much to like what week 15. I've known a lot of lesser quarterbacks, and I've been watching football since like the Buddy Ryan era. I've known a lot of lesser quarterbacks that have gotten drafted even higher than him that have not done half of what he's done for this franchise already. And they were set, you know, they were settled, their cities might have been, you know, okay, we're good to go, and might have wound up being a wash contract or a wash player, either or. The future is very bright, and as far as it goes this season, I think it's a success because nobody expected us to win more than five games. Nobody.
Yeah,
almost
except,
nobody.
Except for me, but yeah, I'm with you.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody except
were
for
people,
me.
Yeah, exactly, because you were the only other
and
guy.
And when you say exactly, you mean nobody except for me. Right, exactly.
Except for you.
Yep,
that's correct,
that's right.
Because
me,
I heard you
me,
say it.
Me, the but, hammer. Yep.
But the beginning of the season, actually going from last season's highs, being that we had a new quarterback, into this season, I told guys, I was telling them then when they were starting this five-win crap, I said, listen, they're going to win about 9-10 games. I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters. I'm not saying Jalen's going to be a perfected quarterback. I knew this guy had shortcomings coming into the pros. But, you know, I knew that these things could be worked on, like they always say. And I'm a realistic fan. I don't want to make it a cop-out either because you'll keep saying that next thing you know, it'll be 3 years later, 4 years later. We just kind of went through that a little bit. You know, Carson was – great, but he got injured, and that's kind of how that played. Well, let's give him time to heal. Let's give him time to heal and develop and learn. We give him a little bit of that patience that we gave Carson. We'll have a perfected team maybe within the next 2 years.
All right, listen, Marvin, we're going to find out. I'll say this. I don't think the Eagles are of the mindset to be patient with Hurts in that I really, truly believe, whether you like it or not, that they will try – to get a different quarterback. Now, they might not get that other quarterback, and then they fall back on Hurts. John, do you agree with me that they will absolutely be trying to get a different quarterback?
Yes. I think they have already had feelers out for quite some time.
And, of course, you can talk to agents. You can't talk to teams, but, you know, you can back channel it a little bit. I mean, this is not impossible to try to get a feel for Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Aaron Rodgers in a legal way. Hey, do you think this guy might be interested in us? I mean, you can back channel.
I think they know exactly where they stand on all of those quarterbacks right now, and they probably have this sinking feeling that it's very unlikely.
Probably.
They'll end up with those guys, or that the price to pay would be too rich for their blood, so they're probably not going to go there. But, I don't think they're going to try to get a quarterback coming out, like a draft kid. Because
I don't know, man.
That is really a lateral move in my book. But, yeah, I think if the right deal fell to them and, you know, they had to give up, you know, less than three first-round picks for one of these guys, I think they'd do it.
Here's the thing I will say, though.
But I don't agree with it.
There are a bunch of quarterbacks that are slotted to get taken right around where the Eagles are going. I mean, you know, if if those teams, and you know the squads, well, there's a whole bunch of them in that range of the Eagles. You know, like, we don't know that the Eagles don't like Kenny Pickett. I have no idea. Maybe they like him. Maybe they don't like him. I don't know. You know, Howie Roseman has not and will not tip his hand to that. So it's certainly possible that they view a guy like Kenny Pickett as a better prospect over the next 10 to 12 years than Jalen Hurts. I don't know. I really obviously don't know their thinking. Here's what we do know. Howie Roseman was asked a question the other day in a press conference. Really, really good question. Basically trying to get to his mindset entering this offseason of, you know, kind of like, how good is your team and is this a go-for-it year or not up ahead with what you're going to do in the next couple of months? Here is Howie Roseman answering a great question with an interesting answer in his mindset.
How you've approached off seasons differently when the team was in a building stage compared to maintaining a contending team. How do you view the off season and the stage that the team is in now? Is it still the transition period that you discussed last year, or is this a go for it period where you're comfortable making short-term decisions?
Yeah, you know, it's ironic that you asked this question, Zach, because I have spent a lot of time thinking about some of our off seasons and those transitions and, you know, some of the years where I thought maybe we needed a specific role or player to push us over, you know, when we made the playoffs and maybe lost in the playoffs, and some of the maybe mistakes for overvaluing that particular skill set as opposed to really keeping building the team and getting players that fit the scheme, fit the culture that we're trying to build here, and just really good players. And, you know, I think until you're really talking about a team that is hosting home playoff games and getting the 1 and 2 seeds, you're in building mode, you know, and I think that that's where we are right now.
So that's Howie. I think that's a pretty clear indication. He's saying, like, if we have a chance to get Devontae Adams, if somehow the Packers don't franchise him, don't expect us to spend, you know, $24 million on a wide receiver, because we're not there yet. I mean, that to me is, don't expect big ticket free agent guy. We need to sort of building block this thing little by little, which, if you remember, is what they did in 2016. The year before they won the Super Bowl, the free agent acquisitions were Rodney McLeod, kind of under the radar, Brandon Brooks, pricey but not too pricey, a little bit under the radar. I think you'll see more of those kind of moves than the big, splashy, let's go get Alshon, let's go sign Ricky Waters as they did in 1995. Like, they don't want to say rebuild. If you notice, he said building, not rebuild. But what he's telling you is we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And they're not.
He's saying they're nowhere close to one or two moves away.
Yeah, T.O. and Kurse, 04.
But that also signifies, like, the quarter that includes the quarterback position.
It could be.
They are not one quarterback away from being a team that hosts, playoff games at the end of the year.
I thought about that, John. Does it apply to we're not ready to go get Aaron Rodgers, which is what a lot
yes.
of people think. I
thought this was a great answer because he was saying exactly what I hoped he would say. They are going to add players like they should because they need to. You need 6 new guys on the defensive side of the ball alone.
Yeah, I just don't know if it applies to quarterback because they value quarterback so much as they should, and is that just a different category? I don't know. Let's go to Joe in Northeast Philly. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Joe.
To you as well, sir.
I didn't get a chance to see the Eagles all on TV on Sunday. I had it on TV a little bit and then on radio, and I watched the replay on NFL Network. John, when they talk about defensive guys playing in the box, would that be like considered 4 yards into to the line of scrimmage?
I don't think it's an exact, like, yeah, you can't say exactly a certain number of yards. I mean, you can see it. Like, you can just see
right.
when there are guys in the box. They would bring a safety down.
Probably 6 or 7, right?
There were times. The number of guys in our box?
No, I'm saying the box is probably more like 6 or 7 yards back of the line of scrimmage, right? When you say,
because
like, a linebacker is just a few more yards back.
Sure.
A linebacker is
4 or 5 yards off the ball.
Right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Play one, they were loaded with 8 guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we didn't attack. I didn't think Jalen Hurts played his worst game of the year. When he threw the interception at the end zone, nobody's talking about how Goddard again, drops a ball right in his hands that he might have taken in. And that was on the same drive. And then we to attack that, eight men in the box, what did we do? I saw in the third period, early in the third, we went with a two-man backfield, Howard and Sanders. And Sanders rips off a 15-yard run, and we were down then. I think it was 24-0, and they don't have the two back offense again, you know. So I was glad to see that Hurts, instead of just throwing the ball up and let the receiver fight for it, he did miss Watkins twice. You know, by overthrowing him. But I'd rather see him overthrow the guy than, like, all during the course of the year, you would see Watkins ahead of his man, and Jalen would throw it up high, and he'd be fighting for the ball with the D-back, you know? So I don't...
Joe, he still played bad, though. I mean, I know you're picking up some... And they played bad. I mean, it was...
And
Joe,
as
playoff games go, this was a disaster. I mean, they were horrible on Sunday.
And their defense, well, Rager, they were only down 17-0, and we had the ball at the 50-yard line if Rager doesn't fumble the ball. And then, Joe and John, on their defense, you know, they would have Nelson would be up there playing press coverage against his receiver, and Slay would be back off of Evans. And Brady would go to Evans.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let – you ain't going to see – Frisco might lose to them, but I'm sorry, L.A.
Yeah.
But they're not going to play.
Listen, Joe, we got you, man. We appreciate the call. It's a lot of good insight. I will say this, though, and I want to really make this point very clear, because Joe had a phrase in there that I feel I've heard a few times over the last couple of days from callers. And I think we got to kind of – take – inventory of what's being said when this is said, because I think it's said the wrong way. People will say, like, well, the Eagles were still in it when Rager dropped the fumble and when Hurts threw the interception. You know, we were only down 17-0. Guys, listen to yourself. They were down 17-0. I mean, yeah, are they technically in it? Sure. But they're barely in it. It was 17-0.
They weren't in it. And another thing, I have a problem. I do have a problem with everyone saying – Dallas Goedert drops balls all the time. Like, now this has become the narrative on Dallas Goedert.
It's a little bit of a
thing. He dropped a pass in this game. He broke concentration, was thinking too much about getting upfield, and, you know, his eyes went somewhere other than the ball. Should have been a catch. Like, I really feel like that's going to haunt him this offseason. And every time Goddard's brought up, people are going to say, inconsistent hands. He doesn't have inconsistent hands. The guy has got mitts. He makes great catches.
I don't know about that.
See,
he does make great catches, but he does have a few, like, more drops than the normal person.
Drops.
He does.
Guys, remember, he
was the main target. I mean, that was
the
biggest drop of the season by a mile.
He was the main target of this offense. Like, he got more targets to drop. So, yeah, he had a few drops. Like, would I have liked to have seen him catch them? Absolutely. And he will in the future. The guy is good. He doesn't have inconsistent hands. He had a few where his, you know, focus was broken, and he unfortunately dropped it.
Hey, we have to give away today a $25 gift card to DiLorenzo's Pizza in Trenton, New Jersey, home of the Trenton Tomato Pie. Let me tell you something. Today, big day in the world of television if you're a fan of Ozark, because it's back. And Marty and the whole cast of characters from Ozark is back. We're obviously all looking forward this week. I can't believe what is going on with Ozark? They bring Ozark back on the same weekend of, like, best NFL playoff weekend, the divisional round.
Not super smart.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Flat out stupid.
A few weeks, all right?
It annoys me.
There's no more football in, like, 3 weeks,
yeah,
all right?
But anyway, I'll probably watch, you know, 7 episodes of Ozark in, I don't know, 14 hours of NFL football this weekend, whatever it all adds up to. But a lot of great characters from Ozark, Marty being, you know, I mean, the main guy. John, curious from you, from Seltzer and everyone today at 215-592-9494, because we've talked an awful lot in the past about characters in television from the past. I don't want to talk about Archie Bunker, the Fonz. I don't want to talk about Omar from The Wire. I don't want to talk about Sam Malone or Norm from Cheers or Lucille Ball. I want to talk about characters in television shows that are active today. Have to be active today. Which, by the way, means Kate Winslet's character from a couple months ago won't even count. Because that TV show is not likely to exist anymore. What was that show called?
Mare from Easttown? Yeah. Mare of Easttown? They might do a second season, actually, apparently.
Well, we're going to need a ruling.
She's off
then.
The board anyway now. All right, well, like Queen's Gambit, there's never another season. Okay. That's done. But I know it's a good point. But there are other shows that keep going. As long as they're making new seasons,
yes.
We know they're making new seasons,
correct.
It'll count.
As long as we know there's more up ahead, we're actively on television today as a show still evolving, then it totally counts. John, when you think of it, and best answer by the end of the show, from everyone listening, whoever gives that answer is going to win the gift card to DiLorenzo's Pizza in Trenton. John, best character on television today, active show, what do you got?
I'm giving an answer. I know you, there's no way you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Geralt of Rivia.
Phenomenal. Unbelievable.
I don't think I know that one. What is that one?
From The Witcher.
I don't watch The Witcher.
Well,
is The Witcher good?
The Witcher's pretty good.
Wow, look at you.
By the way, we're going to have a lot of that today. People are going to say answers. We're like, huh? Who? What's that? We're going to know a lot. We're not going to know them all. Seltzer, talk to me. Great character. Well, active.
Yeah, my answer is the best answer, but you guys wouldn't like it because you guys gave up on the show when it is without a doubt the best show on television. As the Emmys say every year, as the internet says
Show's
every year,
a disgrace.
Roman Roy is the best character on television. Shout out to Kieran Culkin. He is the best, and honestly, all the Succession characters are the best as far as I'm concerned.
Succession is just a terrible show. It makes me sick.
I hate the way it makes me
it's
feel.
It's a horrible take by you
they're
guys.
They're deplorable people, and they're rich.
It
and
is the best show on television. It wins the Emmy every year. It's just the best show on television.
Right. Well,
like,
I don't feel like following like rich, hoity-toity people who
You're
say
lost,
their life's
buddy.
So terrible.
Who are
You're
mean.
Lost.
They're mean people.
Yeah, that's part of the show, man. It's called Succession. Like,
right,
that's the show.
A lot of ways to go. I'm going to talk about someone who 35 years ago we thought was as mean as it gets. But you realize, man, there was a lot going wrong with him back in the day that wasn't his fault. And he's become an incredibly sympathetic, although still complex character. Flawed, but with a lot of humanity. And that's Johnny Lawrence. I mean, when you watch Cobra Kai, Daniel LaRusso's nemesis from 1984 has turned into an unbelievably fascinating character.
Yeah.
So, a lot of ways.
Great job by whatever that actor's name
tremendous.
Is.
Tremendous.
William Zabka.
Yeah.
And I hope
I'm blown away that he just disappeared for so long because he really has talent.
By the way, so did everyone else. There's other answers in that show that also could qualify as winning answers here. I'm not going to say others, but that show's really good. 215-592-9494.
It's pretty cheesy, though.
Well, it's ridiculously. It's absurd.
Like, I think the younger actor acting is substandard on that show. Like, the old actor acting
Yeah, like,
is
LaRusso's
good.
Daughter is horrendous.
She's
tough.
So bad. So
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, the son is
worst.
Not great.
Yeah.
I think the mean girl might
and
be
And again,
worst.
You know my theory, what I said. Like, the problem is Daniel's so unlikable now. Like, he's just not, like, any scene he's in, it's like, okay.
He's pretty
All you
cheesy.
Want is the Johnny stuff or the Kree stuff. It's so much more interesting.
What about the acting of that Hawk kid?
I like Hawk.
I like Hawk.
Do you really?
Joe, I'm with you.
You
I think Hawk is good.
Like
I'm in
Hawk.
On Hawk.
Oh, my gosh,
I like
man.
Hawk.
Joe,
he's
I'm with you.
Terrible.
Great call. Yeah. Hawk's great.
No
So
way.
Are all those answers all off the board as far as
Cobra
like,
Kai is off the board.
Because I thought Kreese could have been a win. Kreese is pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
Kreese is fantastic.
I mean, you go back to the Vietnam days and all that. I mean,
it's a really interesting character.
All right, so unfortunately, Seltzer just ripped off about 10 different characters.
You brought up Cobra Kai.
No, I specifically said I wasn't going to say others, and you, Seltzer, went there. Let's go to Dan in Cherry Hill. Dan, you're on WIP.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
So I want to start by saying that this was not a successful season, but I think we went beyond expectations. I have them down at 5 wins. Joe, man, said 9. You were right. But I think they exceeded expectations, and I guess they got a whole lot of work to do. They're not even close to a playoff season.
I'm right there with you.
I mean, they didn't play nobody at the end of the season. They didn't play a winning quarterback. They didn't play anybody good. Troy Aikman laughed at the end of the schedule. Have you heard Troy Aikman?
Troy Aikman was bored announcing the game.
Yeah.
He was literally bored.
He said they don't even belong here. They haven't played a playoff. They haven't beat a playoff team all season. But, I mean, we skated in there. And, I mean, I like to be there no matter what it takes. Whatever way we get there, we get there. But we have a lot of work to do. Coaching, quarterback, defense, everything. We have a lot of work to do.
Right. I agree. We're on the same page, Dan.
I think we have to fill a lot of spots. I think we should keep our draft picks and, you know, take defense, stick with Jalen one more year, and then see what happens from there.
Dan, give me a great character currently on TV. Active show.
Now, right now, it's the best show on Paramount. I believe it's Mayor of Kingstown, Mike. Jeremy Renner's.
All right. You got it, buddy. Dan, appreciate that. Good. Appreciate that phone call, man. 215.
That's the show. It's by Taylor Sheridan, the Yellowstone guy.
Yep. 215-592-9494. We're coming up. The Ben Simmons saga just keeps going. What's happening? What we think of it? We'll weigh in next. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, bet on passing and rushing yards, who scores touchdowns, and plus, with live in-game betting and their incredible same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, or bet on any game. Download the app, get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA, use my promo code JRWIP, and check out Pro Football on Sunday night. Buffalo is getting 2 points against our old coach in Kansas City. I believe in Buffalo in that defense, and they're plus 108 on the money line. I'll take it. The over-under is 54 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best, the Park Sportsbook app.